Our reading today is from Romans 13, starting at verse 1 through to 7. And that can be found in the pew Bibles in front of you on page 1140. So reading chapter 13 of Romans. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time in governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's open in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we can come before you this evening in worship and in praise. Thank you that you're a good God who is amongst us. We pray, Lord, that you would give us hearts and minds which are submissive to you and which look to you as their God and as their Saviour. And we ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. Tonight we're starting a new series, and it's a series entitled, I Can't Become a Christian Because... And the first of the series tonight, appropriately on Remembrance Sunday, is entitled, I Can't Become a Christian Because Christians Have Supported Wars. The 20th century was a rude awakening for many Western intellectuals. So at the beginning of the 20th century, many believed that mankind was now on the verge of a new era of peace and prosperity because we were children of the Enlightenment. Two world wars started by enlightened Western Europeans, and tens of millions of deaths disabused them of that notion. World War II was then followed in the second half of the century by around another 100 separate wars, which waged on in various countries, showing just how wrong that view was, that we were so enlightened. The form of war changed. The way war happened and took place changed quite dramatically. So it changed from being traditional nation-to-nation state wars and state armies through to being guerrilla wars and wars aimed directly at civilians. But it carried on, and it carries on today. So between 2014 and 2016, 500,000 people died in war. So war is still a big, big problem. It's a far bigger problem than sugar in our soft drinks, plastic in our oceans, or even, dare I say it, Brexit. And the Bible tells us where the problem lies. The Bible says this about humanity in Romans chapter 3. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. So it's a good question to ask, should Christians ever support war? And which war is it right to support, if the answer is yes? Do we only support defensive wars? How on earth is that even possible in an age of terrorism? How do you do that? And didn't Jesus say, turn the other cheek? Now, it's a huge topic, and it's impossible to address in one talk with a whole bunch of questions that come behind it, which I can guarantee we will not cover. So all we can do is focus on some broad foundations, some important principles for Christians who are asked, should we be supporting war? And that hopefully will answer some of the questions en route. And those principles are basically three. They start with an always, a never, and a sometimes. An always, a never, and a sometimes. So firstly, this is why I avoid technology. Right, firstly, always pursue peace, but not at any price. Always pursue peace, but not at any price. At the start of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells you what your character should be like as a believer, as a Christian, as a disciple. And that's the Beatitudes, all those blessed are sayings. And in verses 8 and 9, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So his thought flows from purity of heart across to peacemaking in the first instance. So if you're pure of heart, if your heart has been renewed by God the Holy Spirit, then it naturally follows that you should be a peacemaker, that you will be a peacemaker. Peacemaking is what motivates and enables you to please God, to honor him, to show that you have a pure heart. And we must seek to make peace wherever we possibly can as Christians. But it can't happen in this life. So we look forward to a total and a final peace. We look forward to when Christ returns, when, as Isaiah says, nation will not take up sword against any other nation, nor will they even train for war anymore. So we look forward to that. But in the meantime, Christ calls you to be a peacemaker at home, in church, and in your community, because our God is a God who brings ultimate peace. But it is not peace at any price. It's not appeasement. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and so on. Now what he's talking about there is the fact that the gospel, the truth, would bring conflict. Very naturally, it will bring conflict. And he was saying that's fine, because it's not peace at any price. We cannot sacrifice the truth of the gospel, the message of reconciliation and peace with God as our judge, just to maintain peace and unity on this earth. Regardless of whether it's in the family, in the church, or in social media. So this means, for example, that it is wrong to be quiet about your faith at home just because you're trying to keep the peace. The circumstances might mean it's wise to do so at times. It might mean that you don't want to inflame a situation unnecessarily. But as a general principle and fundamentally, it would be wrong to be quiet just to keep peace. The principle fundamentally basically is you don't make peace by committing a greater evil. And denying the gospel is the greater evil. So that's principle one, always pursue peace, but not at any price. That's the always. This is the never. Principle two, never get your enemies mixed up. Never get your enemies mixed up. Now, there are three institutions that we are all naturally part of, right? Institution one, that God has designed into society. Institution one is the family. Institution two is the church. Institution three is the state. You're a citizen, you're a family member, you're part of a church. So in the family, God has made parents responsible for caring for one another and for raising their children. In the church, God has made his people responsible for preaching the gospel and for making and nurturing disciples. As Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's the state. And God has made the state responsible for governing society, for keeping order, for protecting life and property, and very sadly, for raising taxes. We heard it read earlier by Ruth. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. God has also given the state the power to punish crime and to take life when it is justified. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So the state has an authority. It has been given by God, and it's got a responsibility to defend us as citizens and to protect its innocent neighbors. It's a God-given authority to go to war and to use the law to compel its citizens to go to war, assuming the war is a just war. And we as Christians have the responsibility, therefore, to take up arms in response and go to war, assuming the war is a just war. But obviously people might object, right? Haven't you heard it said that what a Christian should pursue peace? Didn't Jesus tell you to turn the other cheek? Let's look at that passage, page 970. Page 970. Matthew 5, verse 38. You have heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him.